B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. Seven-five, the Fanatic.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station. We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly with Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like the opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to
Good afternoon, everybody. Mike Missinelli Show. Beginning another summer week right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from a Comcast. We're with the full team today. I haven't been with them for a while. Tyrone and Natalie are here. What'd you guys do on your summer vacation?
Oh, I went to the beach.
You went to the beach?
Yeah.
I haven't seen you in like 7 days. It's like, you know,
I saw you last Wednesday.
Last Wednesday?
Yeah. We missed one day.
Felt like for like a really long time that you guys have worked.
Well, we missed you too, Mike.
You did miss me? Were you listening to me on Friday?
I actually did catch a little bit of the show. I'm not going to lie.
I watched it.
You were watching it.
I sent the picture.
You were?
I sent the picture to
Rehoboth Beach?
Yeah, they had it. So had you on at Grotto's.
Wow.
So side by side, I had Mikey Miss on and the Summer League.
But you weren't doing any work as you were watching the show.
No.
You were just kind of watching it and drinking, right?
Yeah. Okay. And eating pizza, yeah.
And eating pizza. All right, so many things have happened since you guys were last on the air. Namely, Kawhi Leonard makes his decision, goes to the Clippers after he engineers a trade. Paul George to go to the Clippers. So now we have LeBron AD, and we got Kawhi and Paul George in the West. I don't know if that's enough to win, but I got to tell you, I'm fascinated by this stuff. I know a lot of people don't like it, or guys like try to pick their own teams, but that's the wave of the future, and I love it. I love when stars can team up with other stars to make it what they think is a formidable team. Now, in reality, you have to have more than two players band together. You have to have a full complement of players and build a team. And so two guys aren't going to win. Now, three guys may have won. If Kawhi going to L.A., Lakers, I think they may have won. But now you got the Clippers fragmented. You got the Lakers fragmented. And the East is wide open. Utah has climbed in there. There's still Portland in there. The Denver Nuggets are still in there. So the West is the West. Whatever. The Sixers now have, in my view, a clear path to win the East, which is going to make next year a fascinating year for everybody. And now we're watching the Summer League. So we are plugged in to the Sixers to the point where we're watching the Summer League. And Club Tyrone has been taking a hit, at least from the feedback I've been getting on Twitter, on email. Because the man that's supposed to be the backup point guard who could play the one and two spot, Shake a Bake, Shakey Milton, is like 4-for-73 so far in his first two games. Tyrone, your thoughts?
He's off to a cold shooting start.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like he can run the offense. I know fans aren't watching for that. It's miss or make. He's missing a ton. I can't pretend that shots are going through. But I do think that two summer league games, it takes a little bit more before you decide a guy can or can't play.
And I agree with you. I like the way he moves on the floor.
Yeah.
I like it. I mean, listen, 0-for-8 from the three-point line in the second game is bad.
It's bad. There's no doubt.
I mean, you got to make a three-point shot. Why? If you're going to take 8 shots. So, again, the same problem we have with these young players. And I'm not expecting them to contribute that much. That's the good part about the Sixers is I think they have enough without having to rely on contributions from guys like Zaire Smith or Matisse Thybul or Shake Milton. They've got a veteran backup point guard who can play a few minutes, and Ben Simmons takes the rest of it, that Neato guy. Yeah. So I'm like, it's interesting to watch these young guys play, but they're playing against such poor competition. And guys are all over the place in this league. I mean, it's not great basketball, except for an occasion when they run down the floor, throw an alley-oop, and you see the athleticism on display, especially by Zaire Smith.
He's been more impressive in that he's been assertive. We'll see what happens, but he's been assertive, and now you see why a scout would see him and say, I can develop him. He's a first-round pick. We didn't get to see any of that really last. You see that in the summer league, why they thought he might be able to develop.
Exactly. But the Sixers have loaded up on enough veterans where I can look at their starting five and three guys off the bench that don't include the youngsters and still feel comfortable about it. So I'm all good about that. And if Zaire contributes, if Matisse Thybulle contributes, if Shake Milton contributes, that's gravy to me. Because we're talking about 8, 9, 10, 11 in that area. So the basketball, first of all, I want to talk about to the people who think this is bad for the league, because I think it's fantastic. When I got the news that Kawhi was going to the Clippers and he orchestrated a trade to get Paul George to the Clippers, I thought it was fantastic. I mean, I love it when guys team up. And because it takes me back to when you used to play. You used to get the best guys on your team and try to stack your team as much as possible so you can win and continue to play the next game. And that's what I think of when I think of these guys pairing up.
I agree. I like it. And I don't have a problem with players having some control about where they play, because the owners are going to do the same thing. If the players had no control, the owners are then just going to send guys around to try to build a team. They're going to move either way. It's better for the players to do it because then it's compelling. There's no story behind it.
And the star players, here's what we learned in the NBA. The star players have all the power. And we're not going to change that. The world has evolved where the star players get to say where they want to play. Like in the case of Paul George, he's under contract with the Oklahoma City Thunder, right? So the Oklahoma City Thunder, all of a sudden, this comes out of the blue. And he wants to be traded to L.A. Now, you got two choices. You're going to, I don't know, you're going to mess up our team. I think we're a pretty good team with you and Russell Westbrook. And then you get a disgruntled player, and then it becomes a year-long thing about whether Paul George has given his all because he wanted to play. So in this kind of situation, you can either bite the bullet and defy the guy and say, no, listen. You got to play here in the contract and take the risk that he's not going to give you full effort because he's disgruntled and he wants to be somewhere else. Or you trade him, you mess up your complete team, and you go into rebuilding mode. What would you have done, Tyrone?
Me personally, because I know if I'm in charge, I now realize that Westbrook hurts winning. He just does. People don't want to play with him. I make that trade because they got a haul. They got a lot.
They really did. They got four first round draft picks,
four unprotected picks, and two pick swaps,
and a couple players,
and one of which made the All NBA a rookie team, who's a decent player.
So you're rebuilding. You weren't going to win in Oklahoma City anyway, right? Even with Paul George and Westbrook, so you might as well take the chance. You got to sell your fan base that, right? But in Oklahoma City, it's an easier fan base to sell than it would be in a hardcore basketball city.
Right, like in Philadelphia, if Ben Simmons tried that in 1 year, I probably have to play hardball. I can't just get picks back because I'm trying to win.
Exactly.
So
Philadelphia, it's different. That would not play well in Philadelphia. Oklahoma City Thunder, they go, it's all we got. You know, we got to embrace it. Until the Sooners take the football field. All right. So let's talk about baseball now. First half is over. Now we go into the All-Star break. And there's a couple discussions here. And number one is, first of all, I think baseball is great. And I might be in the minority of people who think baseball is great. But I look at these notions that anti-baseball people have, and I just had a discussion with Anthony and Jason, that the game is being ruined. Nobody's playing the game anymore. Nobody's interested in the game. And I have said phooey to both of those concepts. For a couple of reasons. Number one, here's what I know in baseball. If you have a good team, people are going to come out and watch you play. It's really as simple as that. If you are a contender in a major metropolitan area, people are coming out to watch you. Now, if you're a contender in Pittsburgh, they might not come out to watch you. If you're a contender in Philadelphia, they're coming out to watch you, and they're coming out in record numbers. And here's the other thing. The game is better. I know a lot of people go, oh, too many home runs. And I go, what the hell? Like, back then, baseball survived during the Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, Barry Bonds home run derby thing, because they were all steroided up. Nobody gave a whit about it. They wanted home runs. It was the excitement of a home run that kept baseball alive. So now that we have more home runs, and we have them for a number of reasons. Number one, the ball. Number two, the parks are smaller. Number three, we have the better equipment and harder maple bats. Number four, you got guys throwing 95 all the time, and exit velocity swings are making contact, and the ball's going to carry out with backspin. Right? All those factors are now in the game. So the game has changed a little bit. But I defy you to tell me that the game is worse and that people are not playing the game anymore. Because I just looked at the National League All-Star roster. This notion that people aren't playing the game anymore. Young kids aren't interested in playing baseball because it's too slow for them. And yet, the National League All-Star team is the youngest average age team in the history of the All-Star game. So we're spawning all these young stars. I guess they're coming from Mars. 27 of them, of the 34, are American kids. So give me the correlation. Kids aren't playing baseball anymore. And connect the dots to, yeah, but the All-Star team is the youngest ever, and they're all American kids. So somebody's playing baseball.
Yeah, you'd have to look at the whole league. The best players being American doesn't mean that the majority are going to be American going forward. It just means the best of the best will continue to be America, and America's the best at everything.
Wait, but the point is that they're not, even if you're not playing baseball as a kid, somebody's picking it up later. It's just like football. You know how many years? I've been doing this for 20 years. I've heard, more than 20 years. I've heard for 20 plus years, people call up and say, football's going to die because the parents don't want their kids to play football anymore. And they're playing soccer, and soccer's going to have this big boom. Where's been the soccer boom, and where's been the depletion in football?
I do think that's coming.
You do?
I don't think boom's coming.
When we're wearing space outfits?
No, I think in the next 10 years.
Next 10 years?
Yeah.
Nah.
I do.
But we've been saying this for 20 years already.
It's different now, though, because of the CTE. It's different. Moms have put their foot down.
Yeah,
I don't think it's going to lead to soccer.
Moms are putting their foot down early. Then the kid makes the decision. Just like when you're not going to baseball games, you're not interested. When you become an adult, you become interested because it's a good place to go. Nothing really changes. And the sports get better as we get older. The athleticism gets better. The quality, the game gets better. Do you see these plays on defense? You remember the days when we used to watch baseball and go, there's one guy that can make plays, Ozzie Smith. Now everybody in baseball makes these kind of plays. There are highlight plays every single day, which means the athleticism is better. They play the game better. All right. We'll kick those topics around. And also, congratulations to the U.S. women's soccer team. I watched the whole game.
Awesome game.
I was glued to it.
Wasn't it great?
It was a great game. And I knew the Netherlands, the Americans kind of dominated the play. And the Netherlands weren't going to score. I could tell that from the jump. And it was a matter of whether it was going to end in a 0-0 tie and go to extra time.
Right.
But the Netherlands couldn't score against that team.
No. They were so tough. They played them so hard.
They're really good.
Yeah.
Julie Ertz, she basically figured out what the Netherlands were going to do, and she was single-handedly destroyed their offense.
Right in front of the net.
Right,
she was unreal.
She just destroyed their offense.
She knew exactly where to place her body.
Obviously, she didn't score. She didn't get the love, but the commentators were talking about how she just figured it out, and now just go score, somebody.
All right, so we have the Sixers talk. We have the Phillies talk, and I didn't get to the point where I was looking at the Phillies and saying they're not good enough. We know now. At the All-Star break, even though they won yesterday, they're not good enough to be a playoff team unless. And the unless is they have to make a major deal. And the caveat to that is they only have three prospects in their system. So you have to decide whether guys like Nick Williams, Cesar Hernandez, guys like that have any value at all to move in a trade to get somebody substantial. I'm down on that prospect. I don't think they can make a big enough deal to get into the playoffs. But I'm not going to bury him yet. They still have the chance. The front office still has working telephones. They can come up with something. They need to come up with something, or this is a summer without the playoffs. 610-632-0975. It's the Mike Missanelli Show. Your call's next on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
2:21. Mike Missanelli Show. Hope everybody had a good 4th of July weekend. Long weekend. A lot of people got off Wednesday, 2 o'clock. Had the rest of Wednesday. Had Thursday. Took off Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's beautiful when you get a break like that if you're an American worker. All right?
Sure is.
Yeah. Were you at the shore?
Yeah.
You are. And when did you come back?
I came back Friday night. I was only down Wednesday to Friday.
Oh, you came back Friday night?
Yeah. Then I spent the weekend with family.
I had to work Friday.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I was. I don't know if you guys knew it.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right.
If you knew it or not, if you took notice. I worked Friday, and then I went down to the shore late Friday night.
Well, I'll tell you what.
And they came back Sunday.
Everybody where I was asking for you.
Oh, they were?
Yes, they sure were. You and Tyrone.
They wanted to find me. I was on the air.
So we don't travel together.
Right.
Conjoined at the hip.
Exactly.
Maybe someday we will.
So, Sunday was a weird day at the shore. It got rainy. In fact, a lot of people left Saturday night. Because the threat of rain, it rained Saturday night, and when people got out of there early, so I'm thinking, well, I'm golden. So I get a half a day in at the shore, get a little sun in, because that sun did come out. I get to the beach, and I go, all right, 3 o'clock, it's perfect. I get home, have a little dinner, play with the dog in the yard, and watch Big Little Lies. That was my night. So traffic was ungodly.
How long did it take you?
I decided that instead of going on the Atlantic City Expressway, I would take the old route that my parents used to take to avoid the tolls. Route 322.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And by Hamilton Mall, it was just crazy backed up. So it took me 2.5 hours to get home. Even
That's
at 3
bad.
O'clock. On
yeah, I came back Saturday, so no traffic at all.
Well, good for you. All right. All right, let's. The 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors, visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. It is now time to start the Twitter poll, brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Attention all landscapers, if you're looking to repower a zero-turn or a walk-behind mower, Moyer has the best deals around for an engine replacement in stock. Visit paulbmoyer.com for details. Natalie.
There we go. We have over 400 votes on this poll early today. Is NBA players teaming up good for the league? 51% say yes, 49% say no.
Really? And that's unbelievable. The first reading I would normally think would be the opposite. Because people normally hate this.
Yeah.
People were complaining on social media all weekend.
Here's where it stopped, though. Because Kawhi did not overload and go to the Lakers, and he helped another team, it doesn't look like overall dominance where three guys are banding together like Wade, Bosch, LeBron. So they're okay with two, not three.
You're probably right.
That's what it is. Had he gone, the LeBron hate already exists. Had Kawhi joined LeBron, that poll would be completely different.
It'd be 10-90.
It definitely would be. All right, let's go to the phones. Will in Phoenix starts things off. Will, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Will.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
What's going on, Will?
I'm more excited about what took place Friday because I think we really got a straight path in the East.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why people are worried about our shooting, because Tobias is going to get more touches, and he will be the guy that takes the shot at the end of the game.
You hope?
Remember,
You hope. Remember, you don't know that. You don't have that knowledge. Again, you're looking into the Tyrone snow globe.
Mike, let me give you an example. The date he got traded to us, that night, he shot the game-winning shot and won the game.
Oh, wait. So that's one example? I'm supposed to carry that over to next year?
That's all we need. We know he can do it.
He shot 33% from the three-point line.
Mike. I like
Tobias, and I think you're right. He's going to have to do it, but you don't have the evidence yet.
Yeah, he's going to move to the three from the four, which is his more natural position.
It is
what he plays.
Guess what? There are more athletic defenders that play the three.
Yeah, but he has height. I'm not worried.
Listen. I hope you're right. I hope Tyrone's right. I don't go by the wishing snow globe. I need evidence.
I just need to see a little bit more from the summer league because Shake, you know, I want him to play better. He didn't look too good in the first game that I saw.
Well, he moved well. I thought he looked at the floor well, but you know, you got to make shots. He was coming up real short on some shots, which means that, you know, that's a lack of confidence. He's got to get some confidence in the way he shoots it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
The shot doesn't look bad. It's not a broken shot. It looks smooth to me.
But I don't know what people are talking about when they say Milwaukee. We are the best in the East. I know it. I know we're going to take the East.
Well, I hope you're right, man. But yeah, again, you're counting. I think the one thing you rely on, the Sixers can defend anybody. All right? That's the one thing I know. I got evidence of that. I can rely on that. I can't rely on somebody that's going to make the shot. That's all I'm saying.
Well, we'll see.
We will see. And that's the whole thing about this season. That's the mystery of this season. Because you had a guy in Jimmy Butler that you knew could deliver. You don't have that guy until he shows you. And I hope to God it is Tobias. But right now I go, you know, if Tobias would have shot 38% from three, I had a little more confidence. He shoots the ball that well. Now maybe that's because Jimmy Butler was on the floor and this will open up a whole new parameter for him. I don't know.
He shot it over 40 before he got here. So I do think that played a role.
That Jimmy Butler was on the floor?
Yeah, taking up a lot of the spaces. He felt more comfortable. I don't think he was comfortable just waiting for the ball.
Mm-hmm. All right. I hope you're right. Listen, the Sixers, to me, should win the East. It's, you know, I had these little worries. What I know is a great defensive team is going to be in every game. It's going to be really tough to beat a great defensive team. So at least I go to war with that. Stallworth, West Philly, on 97.5 The Fanatic. Stallworth.
Yo, Eminem, what it do, baby?
What's up, Stall?
What's going on, man?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I like the topic that you brought up about just the players kind of getting together, mm-hmm. and I guess some people call it collusion, you know, like in the offseason. I like mm-hmm. it. I like it a lot. I like the fact I got to give, like, I guess, LeBron credit because he's the one who really kind of helped the players realize how much leverage they do have mm-hmm. by taking those, like, 1 year and 2 year deals. Where he can just kind of move around where mm-hmm. he wanted to move around.
Yep.
And it's funny to me that a lot of the fans have a problem with it, but they don't have a problem with the teams being able to trade a player anytime they want to, having really all the control. I think it's good that the players realize that, no, we got leverage too. So we can talk an offseason.
Yeah, but the players really don't have leverage. You know, has leverage? Five players.
The rest of the players don't have the leverage.
Yeah. No, guys. Like LeBron, KD, yeah. Kawhi, yeah. they have yeah. the leverage.
Kawhi, PG, yeah, yeah. No, you're right, yeah, because Shake Milton can't do that.
Here's the thing. You know, they look at it like, that means people can do it in basketball. Any great player can do it in any sport. Yes, you just saw it in the NFL with Le'Veon Bell. Yep. And Antonio Brown. Yes. If you're a great player, you can do whatever you want.
Yep. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And if you're a player of that kind of stature, why shouldn't you use the influence
right.
that you have?
You're a great player. You don't want to play with slop. Right?
No, you don't.
Because slop brings you down.
and the teams don't want slop on their rosters. Like, if they could, they would sign as many good players as they possibly could.
Exactly.
You know, if they had no salary cap, they would load the teams up if they could.
Because in the NBA, if you have more players on the floor, you only have five players, the best players are going to win most of the time.
100% correct, man. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited about the Sixers. I'm tuning into the summer league like everybody else is.
Yeah, what do you think? What's your assessment so far?
Right now, my assessment is I'm paying attention to I'm paying attention to Zaire and paying attention to the other young boy that we drafted, Thais. I'm kind of looking at
Thibault.
Yeah, Thibault. Mm-hmm. My bad. I'm paying attention to both of them. I think Thibault, I think he is comfortable doing what he's going to do, which is be a defender. I don't think he's going to try to do too much. I think he's just going to really focus on his perimeter defense. I think he'll be fine there. I'm a little worried about Shake, to tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping he can be used as that backup point. What I'm concerned about is I know they're playing him because he's supposed to be able to kind of help the team to be a little calmer out there on the floor, mm-hmm. because he's supposed to be the player with a little more experience.
Right.
He's not looking like that right now. For me, he's looking like he's not.
He
really
looked
sure.
Okay in other areas of the game. I thought he distributed.
Yeah,
well.
In other areas he did, but I'm looking for him to kind of control the team a little bit mm-hmm. more.
Yeah, I thought he was okay controlling the team. I didn't have a problem with him controlling the team. I just had a problem with him going 0-for-8 from three. And got 2-for-14, 2-for-15 in two straight games, whatever it was.
That's
in that league.
I mean,
you gotta make sure. I mean,
he's missing shot. I think he's trying to do too much because of the contract. I do, and I think he'll calm down as the summer league goes. I really do. But I thought you're not running a set offense because these guys have been together literally for a week. So I think relative to that, he's run a pretty good offense. I agree with you.
I say one thing. He's putting you in the spotlight. You are on the record with the Tyrone Johnson wishing globe, and he's putting you on the spotlight. I'm getting all kinds of feedback about Tyrone's boy.
In some ways, my fate is connected.
It absolutely is.
Shake Milton.
It's connected. And it has been connected to other dudes in the past who have let you down. Let's face it.
Yeah, some have, but I still got Shake at the top. My Lala's going to get some snaps this year. I think he's going to play really well. I don't think that Club Tyrone, I think Club Tyrone is growing.
Here's the question. Who is the absolute successful president of Club Tyrone?
Yeah,
the man that you have endorsed that has actually satisfied your expectations. Has there been a guy yet in Club Tyrone who has risen above the rest?
No.
Natalie, do you know anybody?
I'm trying to think. There's been a ton of entries. But
there,
I don't know if
been
anybody.
A lot of entries?
Has anybody stayed yet? That's the question. Has anybody committed to be a lifetime member?
Club Tyrone's hitting like Andrew Knapp.
You know, the Bryce Harper thing really.
The average is.
Bryce Harper.
Really killed Nick Williams.
And that's what killed it.
What?
Bryce Harper signing really.
Killed Nick Williams.
Yeah.
And that hurt Club Tyrone a lot. But I think it's still coming. The best days are still ahead for Club Tyrone.
Okay, well, speaking of Nick Williams, I forgot to include him. No, I did include him.
You included him.
Here are the guys that the Phillies have to trade to get better. And this is why I go, You know, I watched the Futures. Did you watch the Futures game yesterday?
Yeah, I was
Sixto
watching.
Sanchez had a really good inning.
Yeah, he looks like
he hit 98, right? So they traded him for JT Realmuto, which I don't have a complaint about. But this has left them with the following minor league prospects in this order. Alec Bohm.
Looks good.
Which they say is untouchable. They're not going to trade him. So that reduces it to Adonis Medina, a highly touted, I think he's in, is he in Double A?
Double A,
yeah. And Spencer Howard, another pitcher who's currently hurt and is doing rehab assignments. He throws hard, too. And then you get to the level of Adam Haseley, Mickey Moniak. And on the big club, the only guy that you would trade, the only two guys you would trade are Cesar Hernandez and Michael Franco. Now, are those players enough to get you a substantial pitcher? Because you're looking at Arrieta now, and he's got bone chips. So you have one and nothing. So you need the guy you acquire has to be substantial. He can't be just an add-on. Do they have enough? And I look at it and I go, unfortunately, they don't.
No, they probably have to get lucky with the guy. They have to get a guy who can perform well for half a mm-hmm. season. And those guys are out there. There's going to be somebody who surprises. They have to be right about that. They probably could part with one of Haseley or Moniak, but you definitely don't want to counter. You don't want to part with both because one of them is probably going to be starter next year, depending on what happens, because you still don't really have a center fielder and you don't know if they'll have the money to sign. So you can't get rid of both of those guys. They got to keep one. They're in a jam. And they probably can't afford to give up much more pitching because they don't have any arm. They don't have enough arms as it is. No, they don't have enough. They don't.
All right. One thing about Arrieta and what happened with the Mets and the hits Todd Frazier. Frazier made a big fuss. And then afterwards, Arrieta put his mean face on and said, if Frazier wants to talk to me, he can come over here and I'll dent his skull for him. Now, I don't have a problem with that because I like guys to talk tough and are willing to back it up and maybe throw down if they need to. What I have a problem with is if you can't last five innings, you don't have the clout to say something like that.
Correct.
So you just don't. You know, when you're out of game in five innings and you haven't done your job because they've given you a lead and you've given it right back, you don't have the standing to say something tough guy like that. That was my problem with it.
No, I agree. He's my least favorite. He honestly is my least favorite Philadelphia athlete ever. He's worse than Papelbon in my mind.
The worst ever?
Yeah, to me, he is the most annoying.
That's funny. Let's try to get a top five. You got Arrieta on that?
I do.
I don't know if I put Arrieta
because,
on.
Because Papelbon played well, even though I hated him. He played well. This guy stinks.
Yeah, but Papelbon was such a miserable creep. There are a lot of stories that I heard about him that he's on my list. Scott Rowland's on my list.
Yeah, they're both on my list.
I go way back. John Denny would be on my list, who wound up winning a Cy Young Award, but just a total miserab. Who else would I put on that list of Philly players? Burrell's close.
I wasn't a fan.
If you had been in the locker room, you'd have been less of a fan. Victorino.
You didn't like Victorino a little bit.
No. Albert in Phoenixville. Albert, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Albert.
Hi, Mike and Natalie and Tyrone. How are you doing?
What's up,
today?
Albert?
I just wanted to get on board with you saying that baseball still got it as far as a fan base. And the way I look at it is that the young people in the United States are still very competitive in Little League World Series and things of that nature. And also, there's kind of competitive leagues. And also, people seem to bring their children out to the baseball games, just like always, even more so than always, so much so that they're talking about now putting up additional protection for the fan base, you know, because there's so many young kids in there and all.
And even though
some people might not live close to the ballpark, out in the, when you go out to the center part of the state, you got the Reading Phillies and you got the Altoona minor league teams, and those are all exciting nights out at the ballpark. And so I think baseball's around for a while.
I totally agree with you, Albert. Here's the thing about the people who dislike baseball have been carried away by the wave of what 2019 is, which is quick. We got to be like satisfied like right away. Baseball's not that kind of sport. So the people who complain are complaining about it with that in mind, that it's not fast enough for their lifestyle now.
Yeah, the other side of that coin is when I used to take my daughter out to the games when she was a young girl and a teenager, there's more time to talk and really get to know the person.
You know, I'm totally with you. But here's where the people carry it to a degree where it's inaccurate. They correlate it with the death of the sport. Because it is not conducive to their lifestyle, and it's too slow, and kids aren't playing anymore, and kids are disinterested, and blah, blah, blah. But what they don't do is acknowledge what's happening in front of them, which is that baseball's revenues are at an all-time high, that the game is at the best level that it's ever been, that good teams still draw 30-plus thousand a game to watch it, right? And that people go to see home runs, and home runs are being delivered. So what's the correlation between kids aren't interested in baseball anymore to fast-forwarding what baseball is now? Where's the correlation? Where's the taint of the actual Major League Baseball game correlating it with the fact that kids don't play it?
Is the taint just perception?
It is. It's because people want to dislike baseball.
That's what
it,
yeah.
And they make up a narrative that...
That doesn't exist.
Because kids aren't playing anymore and they're not watching it, that means the sport is dying, when in fact it's the opposite.
Yeah. Because there clearly are kids right. playing it. But just because your kid's not playing it right. doesn't mean that there's other children who aren't playing it.
So you have to have second level thinking.
Right.
The second level thing. See, people only go to the first level. Mm-hmm. They go, oh, nobody's playing baseball anymore. It's too slow. It's dying. Well, really? Well, show me how it's dying. Because I look at the National League All-Star team. Their average age on the team is like 24 years old, for crying out loud. So all these young kids that aren't playing baseball apparently played good enough baseball to become a Major League All-Star. And 27 of the kids are American kids. People say, whoa, you got the Latinos in there. 27 are American on the NL roster. I didn't even go to the American League roster yet. I just went to the National League roster.
Baseball needs tweaks, not an overhaul.
Doesn't need anything.
No, it does.
Nope. Don't need tweaks either.
It does need tweaks.
What tweak?
We've talked about these tweaks so many times.
Yeah, I know, but none of them make sense.
They all make sense.
No.
You still think it's good.
Give me a tweak that makes sense.
I don't need the manager to walk out to the mound to take a pitcher out.
They limited the manager. They limited the visits to the mound.
No. I'm saying when it's time to take out, hold up a thing like the soccer game with the number of the player coming out and the number of the player coming in. The player just comes in, warms up, let's go. I don't need to walk out to buy more time. Enough of that.
You know what?
That's a flaw. That's a tweak.
The manager walks out, I go potty. The manager walks out, I get a hot dog.
In today's game, how many times am I going to pee? 100 times? They make pitching changes every inning.
It gives you a time to breathe.
It's too
There's
much.
Nothing wrong with breathing, Tyrone.
That's a tweak. I agree with you for the most part. On the edges, there's some tweaks. That's a tweak I would do because we're doing it just because it's always been done. There's actual no good reason for it.
There's no reason to change.
Yes, there is.
Baseball is perfection.
No, it's not always, at all.
It's always been perfection.
It
has been Americana. And you don't change Americana or perfection.
You always tweak Americana.
Well.
Grandma might make a pot roast then on Sunday. Now look, she's got the baked chicken. She's making a tweak. It's just a tweak.
All right, whatever. Little things like that are just they're irrelevant. If that's what your tweaks are, there's nothing wrong with the game.
Speed.
It's still going to be 3 hours, whether you speed it or not. It's just one of those things that takes time.
And it's not annoying.
Can't you just reserve something that takes a little more time than football, basketball, or hockey?
I'm with you, Mike.
Can't you have that in your life?
People need to slow down.
Exactly. You're at Rehoboth Beach. What were you doing? You running around like your chicken was like your head cut off? You were relaxing.
No, we actually.
Baseball gives you a time to relax.
All right.
610-632-0975. Breaking news. Omari Spellman, former Villanova player who was there for 17 minutes, was traded from the Hawks to the Warriors. Warriors loading up. I don't think Omari's going to make that big of a difference.
He might end up being their backup center, actually. It's something.
Yeah. We're back at this 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, 249, Mike Missinelli show at 3 o'clock hour. I'm going to bring up a topic that was written about in the Inquirer a couple days ago about Megan Rapinoe, just because I want to get Natalie's reaction.
Oh, boy. Okay.
It was a column in the Inquirer by a noted columnist who appears, national noted columnist.
Okay. All right.
You know what I'm talking about?
I don't, actually.
You don't? Okay. I'll go over the column with you.
Okay.
And the point of the column is that Rapinoe is actually hurting her cause.
Interesting.
So, and I'll get into why he says she is. And I want to get your opinion.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to hear.
Up in the 3 o'clock hour.
Okay.
All right.
Good.
In the meantime, let's go to Joe in West Philly. Joe, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe.
Hey, Mike. What's up, man?
What's going on, Joe?
You know, I was listening to you talk about the youth sports and baseball and thing like this. And my thing, I think like when football is part of the youth football, I think like it's no everybody. When their kids young, they're young. Every father, every mother think their kid is a stud, and they put them on that football field in the youth football. I don't think it's the CTA hits and things, but I think when they see their kids getting pushed around, when you see your kid getting ran over, you see your kid don't want any part of contact. That's when I think they start taking their kids. That's what I see in youth.
Well, I think there's definitely been a swing of parents who prohibit their kids from playing football and steer them into soccer. But that doesn't the notion is that if you do that, it's going to kill football. But it doesn't kill football.
No, you catch football.
Parents have control over kids to a certain extent. Like when they're 8 and a parent says, you're going to play soccer, you're not playing football, they go, okay. When you get to be 13 and your friends are playing on the junior high team, you're not making the same choice. So then you start playing football.
But soccer, you don't see your kids getting slammed in the ground by another kid.
It's safe for moms. Let's face it. Moms would rather not have their kids play football for the most part.
If they're not dominant, they'd rather not have them play. And if you out there being a tackling dummy, that's when they want to
take if they're dominant, they don't want their kids to play. Even if they know their kid's a good football athlete, they want to protect them because of all the head injury stuff and all that. So they want to protect them from getting jostled at a young age.
Yeah,
but that doesn't stop the fueling of football players.
Oh, no.
Colleges are stocked more now than ever with talent.
That's because football is the easiest sport to catch up with as far as coaching and things like that. I mean, mm-hmm. You can be 5 foot something or 6 foot something and have a career in football. You know what I mean? Coaching is very paramount.
Yes.
And my thing about baseball, I really think that the thing about baseball is African-American participation. I remember when Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders was in the major leagues. And they were stars, and their baseball was like a second thought to them. And they brought so much excitement and things to baseball. And then to me, it seemed like Barry Bonds, whatever steroid, it just seemed like he's like the last black guy to ever play baseball. It's funny when you hear the history, you hear the Hank Aarons, and these guys are still living.
No, you're not paying enough attention. There's a lot more black athletes playing baseball these days.
I don't see them.
You're missing that Futures game. If you watch that Futures game last night, there were a lot of black athletes in that game.
They don't carry conversation on any stations I hear about. I don't hear any black baseball players carrying conversation.
Well, you're not paying attention.
Like Barry Bonds and those type of guys.
You're not paying attention.
Barry Bonds is like the last black guy to play baseball.
No, that's not true. You got to look at the rosters. You're not looking at baseball enough.
To get more hype than Barry Bonds since he's been gone.
Well, nobody, because he had 700 home runs. But I mean, that's the top example you're going to give me. But there's a lot more African-American.
To Hank Aaron to now, like, what happened? These guys are still living. Like, in the truth, you know?
You're not paying attention. There are a lot of black athletes in the game these days.
It's way down from it is way down though in the major leagues.
From when? 70s?
Yeah.
Well, from the 70s, yeah, because there was more of a wave to gravitate to other sports. But more black athletes are coming back into this sport now.
Well, we'll see, but what I'm saying is all these things happen over generations, and mm-hmm. a generation of black players didn't play baseball.
Yeah,
and you see it over a generation. You don't
see it
like in year to year.
I get it. But you asked that Futures game last night. The top prospect in all of baseball is a black guy played in the Cincinnati Reds farm system.
Yeah,
I think what black guys are looking at, instead of looking at baseball as a boring sport, they're looking at a sport where they could really succeed and make a lot of money in.
Yeah.
Instead of going the harder route. I mean, you know, baseball is a hard route to get there. But if you have athletic ability, you can be a good baseball player.
And you don't get hit.
Right. You don't get hit.
It's an easier way to make money.
Correct. So on the other side, I'll talk about this guy. I cannot believe this guy's not in the major leagues. I watched this kid last night from the Toronto Blue Jays system. Did you see this guy?
Yeah.
He threw 101, and then he snaps off an 89-mile-an-hour slider, and you're just dead. There's no way you can hit that. When he sets you up with 101 and then he throws an 89-mile-an-hour slide, you're done. Now, why is that guy not in the major leagues? Meanwhile, the Phillies have Cole Irvin, who can't break a pane of glass. This guy's throwing 101, he's not in the majors. Mike Misnelli said, 3 o'clock hour is up next, right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.